Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to KCC. My name is Clive. I'm one of the pastors here, and thanks for joining us online here this morning. We're going to pray before we turn to God's word, so let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together online. And although in many ways we're a scattered church because we're in our own homes, we thank you that you can still speak to us through technology, that you can speak to us online. And we pray that your word would go out this morning in power. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and to illuminate your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to hear what your word has to say to us, that we would understand it in our whole being, that we would understand it in our minds, in our hearts, in our body, in our soul. We just pray that you would come, speak to our whole body, we pray. And we pray this morning that you would still our hearts in a time of uncertainty to be receptive to what your word has to say. And help me, I pray, to be empowered by your Holy Spirit. Help me to speak your words of truth and to know your power at work now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to turn this morning to Psalm 119, and it's the longest psalm in the Bible. But don't worry, we're not going to cover the whole psalm. We're just going to cover 7 verses of Psalm 119. And we're going to turn to verse 33. So if you've got a Bible, if you've got a phone or computer in front of you, why don't you open up Psalm 119 and turn to verse 33 of Psalm 119. So we're going to begin reading at verse 33 of Psalm 119. So let's read that together. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart towards your statutes, and not towards selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. And I want to begin this morning by asking a question which I ask myself too. And that question is, where do you look for direction? Where do you look for direction? We are given lots of information every day to direct us and tell us what to do. And maybe more than ever in these days that we are living, as we are setting up Skype and WhatsApp groups and Zoom video calls. It may be we look to friends, though, a side of technology to direct us. Maybe we look to family members to direct us. Maybe we follow a certain type of philosophy or a religion. We are all looking for direction, and we're looking to be informed and to be given information. And when we receive that information, it shapes us, it affects us, it directs us in some way. And I want to unpack how direction is given by God to us, because God is a speaking God. One of the reasons that we might not turn to God so readily is that we might think that he doesn't speak. Francis Schaeffer once said that God is there and God is not silent. God is there and God is not silent. So how do we know that he's not silent? Well, he speaks to us primarily through his word. And this morning, I'm going to look at three key areas that come out of the verses that we read in Psalm 119. I want us to think about how God speaks to our mind, how God speaks to our heart, and how God speaks to our soul. How God speaks to our mind, our heart, and our soul. So firstly, God speaks to our mind. Verse 33, we read, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." The psalmist looks to God and his word and wants God to direct him and shape him. We see that in verse 33. Look again. "Teach me, Lord, teach me the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end." And he wants us to be taught. Because God is a speaking God, he wants to teach us. The desire, however, to be teachable does not always come easy. Because if we are proud, then we are unteachable. But when we humble ourselves, when we are a humble person, we become more teachable and more receptive to God wanting to teach us. And when we kneel before him and say, "Teach me, God," when we open up our Bible, we are admitting that we have things to learn. We want to hear the God who speaks and who directs our paths. Tim Keller once said, "Follow God's word instead of your feelings." Follow God's word instead of your feelings. And it seems to me that in the age that we live in, that we often get that the other way around. It's like, does this feel good? Does this feel right? Does this feel the right decision to make? Oh, well, I'll go and look at the Bible once I've tested my feelings. There may be something in the Bible about that. But Tim Keller's saying, follow God's word instead of your feelings. And verse 34 says, "Give me understanding so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart." You see, the Bible is not a set of rules to learn and repeat, like the highway code that we learn for a driving theory test. God's word is not just a set of words that we are to recite, like the black cat sat on the mat, and that we just repeat these words and somehow some magic formula happens. The Bible brings about transformation. There is a dramatic and a performative act that happens as we read the Bible. As the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate God's word, there is drama and there is performance that speaks into our minds. As we pray and as we read the Bible, God himself speaks to us. And as he speaks to us, his desire is, as we think upon his word, that we would respond to his word. We are to be willing to come and hear God. And as we get to know God, we get to know him through his word. As he teaches us by his Holy Spirit, he wants to work in us, opening our eyes, opening our ears to a God-shaped reality. And he wants us to know about him But more than that, God wants us to actually know him. And we can know him as we open up the Bible and we read God's story, his story. He wants to speak to us about how much he loves us. In verse 35, we read, "Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight." And so when we look to his word and we look to him for direction, we will find not a burden or heavy demands that we can't make. But as our minds are shaped by the word, as the Holy Spirit is moving, that performative act of the Spirit in the word, as that is going on, we will find delight in a God who shows us his love. God wants us to delight in him. And maybe for some of us this morning, it all feels such hard work in this crisis that, well, I suppose I better open my Bible. I suppose I better obey God. I suppose I better follow him. But as we take this time to reflect and ponder on him, he wants to speak to us. So let me just give you a little challenge here this morning. Are you actually opening up your Bible? Children, young people, teenagers, are you actually getting out your phone with the Bible app and looking at what God has to say? Starting in one of the Gospels, in Matthew's Gospel, just reading a bit of that. Or if that's too difficult, press the play button on your phone. Someone else will read it for you and listen to it. Allow God's word to seep into our minds that we might delight in him rather than other things. But secondly, God speaks to our heart. God speaks to our heart. Verse 36 and verse 37 read, "Turn my heart towards your statutes and not towards selfish gain." Verse 37, turn. Look at this word, turn. Both of them, turn my heart. Verse 37, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. And so we need to turn our hearts, or have our heart turned by God. It's God by the Spirit turning us towards himself. We need to turn our hearts towards him. Say, "Come, Lord, turn my heart towards you." And there are two main reasons in relation to the heart why this needs to happen. Firstly, A, he shows us that our hearts are sinful. All of us. Doesn't matter who we are. Doesn't matter how bad we feel about our life. Doesn't matter whether we feel good about our life or bad about our life, all of us, our hearts are sinful. But secondly, B, he shows us that only he can purify our hearts. So if our hearts are sinful, only God can be the one that purifies our hearts. So let's look at the first one. A, our hearts are sinful, and we need him. How do we know that? Well, Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" I mean, that is just telling us that we are just at the root of all things messed up. I mean, we like to somehow think that we're better than we are sometimes. But at the heart and the root of all things, the heart is deceitful above all things. So even on your best day, on my best day, we're told that at the root of everything, we're desperately sick in our hearts. Who can understand our hearts? We're just up and down. It's just so all over the place sometimes. We're just not consistent in and of ourselves. And so we see this evidence of how sick the human heart is. We only need to put on the news right now. We see evidence of greed, people taking more than they should do during this crisis. People looking to make money out of this crisis, which is a terrible thing. We see that people are capable, and we are capable in our hearts, of jealousy, of bitterness, of anger, of lust, of rage. We see these things brewing up in us, and we see these things in the world. And these things bubble away in my heart, and they bubble away in your heart. And we all, at the root of everything in our hearts, are desperately sick and cannot change our hearts. This is not just about behavior modification. If I do A, then B will happen. But we need something more if we're to find true direction in life, and true direction, especially through this crisis that we're in. And God wants to speak to our hearts about this. God wants us to see that we drift away from him as individuals, and that we drift away from him as a world. We go about doing our own thing, going our own way. We know that to be true. Try and make it through one day without our hearts taking us in the wrong direction. So what do we do about it? Well, secondly, B, the good news is that God can help give our hearts direction, and he can heal our hearts. He can purify our hearts. And we might ask, well, how can that happen? How can that change happen? Well, in Psalm 51, verse 10, the psalmist cries out, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." We need God to change us. He is the one who purifies us. He renews us. He sets us in the right direction. And that's what we need. We are a desperately lost world at the moment, more than ever. And we need someone to set us in the right direction. And it's God who can speak to our minds, and he can speak to our hearts. And we need to respond to him. We need to respond to this truth. So he wants to purify our hearts. But what is our role in that? What do we do in response to that? Well, many of us will be familiar. They're a rare commodity right now, with sanitizers. We're being told all over the world to wash our hands for 20 seconds, about the time it takes to sing happy birthday twice, apparently. But if we're out and about and we don't have access to soap, we're told to take some sanitizer and to put it on our hands and to rub it in. And it's got a really strong smell, hasn't it? Really, really strong smell. We put it all over our hands. We're told to wash our hands. We've been told about washing our hands and using this sanitizer. We get this information about washing our hands. We get this information about cleaning our hands and about sanitizing our hands with sanitizer. But if we take that information and we truly want to respond to that, then we need to actually put the sanitizer on our hands. I took that sanitizer and I cleaned my hands with it. But if we're to respond to God, his desire is to change us from the inside out. That he wants to sanitize our hearts. He wants to purify our hearts. And it's only he that can do that, but he wants us to respond to him. He wants us to have pure hearts and respond to him. And how do we do that? Can we hear the information? Purify your hearts. How do we do it? Well, in James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, James chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, it says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What a great picture of what it is for God to do a work in our hearts. And it seems like that the Lord is making this message louder and louder. He's stripping away all the stuff that we've got used to, which signifies how we actually are in control of our lives. And so we see more and more that life is getting simple, and we see that there is a need to submit to God and his holiness and to acknowledge who he is. And I believe that God is humbling the nations. I believe that God is humbling us as a church. I believe that God is humbling me as an individual, and that we all need to listen to this. This is not a case of just get through this, get back to normality. We're told to submit ourselves. This is what's going on in our hearts. There's a battle. We're to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We are to come near to God, and he will come near to us. So flee from the devil, come near to God, and God will come near to us. And then wash our hands and purify our hearts. And how do we truly mean business with God? How do we truly have a heart change, an ongoing heart change? How does this happen? Well, we need to grieve. We need to accept that we sin, that our hearts are not in the right place. We need to mourn and wail. We need to cry out to God in a time of need that we're in. We need to be seeking God and say, this is not, the way we've been living is just not the way, where it's at. It's not what you want for the world, God. We've gone our own way. We've made idols in our life. And we change our laughter to mourning. You know, we might read that in a time when everything's going fine and well and none of this stuff was happening. But can't we see the richness and the depth of that? That when we change our laughter to mourning, we're humbling ourselves. We're saying, okay, God, I recognize that I've just been a bit flippant in life. I've just been going after things that entertain me. I've just been going after things that are going to make me feel good. I've just been going after a whole load of stuff that is really not you. And so we need to change the laughter to mourning. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. We've got to respond to this today. Just in the same way we're told to wash our hands, we get on our knees, we humble ourselves, and we say, God, change me, change us, change the world. And thirdly, God speaks to our soul. Verse 38, fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. And in Psalm 42, verse 1, it says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. We have to have a deep down longing in our soul. And just as a deer that is absolutely thirsty pants to find those streams of water. So we need to have our thirst quenched by God. And much of the stuff that we hold dear is being stripped away. And we are being humbled. But the question is this, if God is a speaking God, are we listening? Are we listening? If God speaks, he's a speaking God, are we listening to him? Are we actually listening? And are we longing for Jesus? Or are we living to return to the good old days? Just getting on with my life. It's a real inconvenience that everything's been put on pause, we might say. But are we longing for Jesus? Are we longing for Jesus, or are we hoping we could just get through this and get back to being in control of our lives? God is speaking. Are we listening? Are we willing for God to change us? Are we willing for God to change us? Jesus' death and resurrection was to forgive our sins and to give us eternal life as he died on the cross and rose again. And it's also about showing us how he wants to one day make all things new. Will there be no viruses, no coronavirus, no cancer, no pain, no loss, no grief, where there will be blissful eternity, where we are worshiping God forever, in a world that doesn't suffer the consequences of sin anymore? Are we listening? If we're looking for direction, God is speaking right now through his word. Are we listening? Let's take time to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us through his word and listen to God who speaks to us today. Let's just take a short moment to be still before God, and then I'm going to pray. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us, just to confirm what he's saying to us this morning. Father God, we want to come to you and acknowledge that you are a God who speaks, that you have sent Jesus to die and rise again in order that we might have life. And that as Jesus ascended to heaven, he said, it's better for me to go to send you my helper, my counselor, my comfort to the Holy Spirit. And so we pray in this time that we would look to you, that we would look to you, the one who saves, the one who ultimately saves and will make all things new. Help us to listen to you. And in this time of crisis, that we would allow our hearts to be still, that we would not hunger to be entertained once again, to fill our lives with stuff once again, but we pray that you would come and change us from the inside out. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a good week, everybody. Let's be looking out for one another. Let's be praying for one another. Messaging one another, let's keep encouraging one another, and let's keep speaking out the good news of the gospel to a lost world that we live in. God bless you.